that's actually a very interesting phenomenon, because we know that some of the Europeans, like, they if they want to watch movies and they search, like, in the Google video, and you can see that there are some kind of Chinese websites there, and you can get into that and then watch those movies. And that's kind of thing that you go around this kind of situation, this kind of walls. And but you can't simply block all the Chinese websites. And this kind of but this kind of, like, Americans and Europeans feel challenged about this kind of situation, about especially the Chinese show for this kind of violation of copyrights. And but they are trying to improve the situation in China, and probably the situation will get better in China, but there will always be this kind of role, you know, probably in India or in Pakistan or in Africa.
Or in an oil rig in the middle of the ocean in international waters.
Yeah.
You couldn't really solve that. I mean, one of the comments about the Pirate Bay case was that, okay, now the servers are just going to move into the ocean, where there is an international, or where a single country's law doesn't really apply.
Yeah. So you have to have a common rule for the world, because it's the internet is for the international thing. So but it's quite a habit. I don't know. I haven't got a solution for that, because you can do it in a region by region. But this kind of website.
But I mean, doesn't a tax, like we talked about last session, doesn't it solve all of that?
It does.
Doesn't taxing solve sort of every major problem in relation to the copyright problem? Because then it's legal to watch anything anywhere for anyone. So I'm thinking that a tax is perhaps the only solution, so that we can stop fighting about this and just tax people a flat fee, divide the money, and go about our business.
But again, there's a problem in countries like China or any third world countries where a lot of people do not care about music, about movies, they're just struggling to survive, you know. You can't tax them.
Yeah, but you tax them a fee equivalent to sort of the level of income in that country.
But the thing is that this kind of tax is like asking the rich to pay more and asking the poorer to pay less. It's kind of like this kind of...
Well, how is that?
Because you levy more tax in Europe and or in America, but you levy less in China or in India, and this kind of is like this.
That's the way it is now.
Tax
law
isn't
identical in any country that I'm aware of. We're taxed a huge amount compared to residents of the United States, for example.
And we're taxed relative.
So we don't care. We have, we're different countries. So what?
Because if every internet connection is taxed the equivalent of what we make, of what we earn in an hour, basically, and adjust that over all the countries, wouldn't that sort of be fair as well?
That's one thing is about the fairness, but another thing is about the internet. Is you can, like, even like me, I'm not staying in Europe, I can still use the Chinese thing, Chinese products. It's like, you know, it's not like you stay in one place, and so this kind of thing is like connected. So it's not like.
And at that time, what would happen when you add tax on the internet? The internet would be pirated. Like, one line would be taken and it would be shared such a way to reduce the tax things. It will happen. Another thing is.
VPN connections.
That's the way it is now. You should. A lot of people share their connections with other people. In a dorm complex I used to live in, we were five people sharing the same internet connection. So that's nothing new.
And obviously, when the college has their connection, they have to pay a fee equivalent to the amount of users that are here, so that you don't sort of assume that Jøvi College is a single user or 10 users, but actually 3,000 possible users. And obviously, the model couldn't be linear, but you would have to figure out how you would tax the different types of connections. Then it wouldn't really matter if you're in China or in Norway. You pay an equivalent of what the internet connection in that country would sort of generate in terms of money. So if we're in China, or you live in China, you pay the equivalent of an hour's worth of salary in China.
But my question is actually, for the European watch the European website, they pay a tax, but what if they don't watch that, they skip that, and they go to the Chinese website?
Mm.
That's how can you deal with that?
You forward this cost to the ISP, so you wouldn't get on the internet here in Norway without that tax being paid.
I was thinking of the internet as a cloud, but there is a physical support.
Yeah, but
because somewhere you would need to get an access.
Yeah, I mean, you can't block that. You can't block all the websites.
No, they don't want to block it.
You are paying
to the ISP, your ISP, and everybody is compensated.
So in your student fee, there is a small percentage, 5 kroner, whatever, to pay for the internet connection the whole college has. So you might end up paying for an internet connection several times, one at home and one at the college. But anyway, we assume that you sort of use the college bandwidth to download content when you're at school as well. So my contention is that you wouldn't get on the internet, you wouldn't get a connection without having to pay some way. And obviously, there would have to be a stop on sort of open public internet connection points. Or at least some sort of an access restriction that lets users, or avoids that users congregate around free access points that they haven't actually paid to be a part of. I mean, one case I was involved in was taxi drivers in a city in southern Norway, in Kristiansand, driving up next to the college, bringing their laptops and surfing all night long when they didn't work. So they used the parking lot next to the college as a sort of a Wi-Fi spot, with a very fast internet connection. And obviously you would need to think about access restrictions on those public access points. But I mean, anyway, if you're admitted here as a student, you would have to pay a few kroner to be a part of sort of the family, to be a part of paying that bill from the college because we are so many users. I still don't see why that model at least wouldn't be better than the one we have today. Because there would be a lot of money generated. And it wouldn't be a lot of money to each individual, but it would mean a lot of money when you aggregate it all of it.
I don't see a problem on the public spots thing. If it's a college or so, you can easily limit it by forcing a user on the password login schema, and if it's...
Or if you're at Starbucks, you could always charge 20 cents more for a coffee.
Or just, in that case, if it's really free spot, you can still limit the ports.
Or the bandwidth, so that in reality...
Someone pays for the access.
Yeah.
No matter if you access the network for free.
Yeah.
And the tax would be on the people who pay for the access.
Yeah.
And so I don't see a problem with the public access points either.
No. I think they could basically be fairly open.
I also think that there should be separate business models, like, because in the third world countries you can find one CD which contains 2,000 songs, and usually we don't download because it's tiring to download. We go and buy those CDs because we have more songs there that we can manage to download in maybe 1 month. So just go there and buy the CD and take maybe 100 good songs from there, copy it and throw the CD out.
But I mean,
that's
the way.
The and even the good companies
mm-hmm.
who are actually holding the copyright, they're doing those CDs because if they do a CD with 10 songs, nobody's going to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this is a kind of thing. And also the originals are same cost as the pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody wants to go to pirates. In that now, this is the trend which is coming out that the company is now, you know, getting, and the artists, they are paid only when they are performing somewhere. They get money when they perform in a live show or something. And the company in that way. So they somehow try to manage to the situation, but for the tax thing, I think for those who don't have, hasn't lived there, they cannot think that how can you impose tax on those people. Because the people who only live there know that they cannot pay any taxes.
But couldn't you end up just taxing storage mediums or transport mediums as the internet connection? You pay a fee of 20 cents or 50 cents per disk, and that basically pays for, just like the cassette fee here in Norway.
Well,
and that money is channeled
CD
back.
One CD costs actually 5 cents. So
okay.
So if you give 20 cents as a tax, you are losing 5 CDs.
Okay.
So you have to think a lot to impose, and it's not less people. The more people, 200 times more people than Norway. So if you impose a good business practice there, maybe it would be very.
But I mean, still wouldn't, even with those problems, wouldn't the model of taxing an internet connection be better than the model we have today?
It's difficult to impose tax there. Actually, the situation is different there. People cannot understand like how the life goes there.
I'm telling that the people who haven't lived there cannot understand the way. Like, I can think of Norway now because I'm living here for some days, understanding the situation.
But I mean, you pay for the internet connection,
yeah,
right?
I pay for it, but maybe very less regarding. If you, yes, I'm asking that if you pay a tax, okay, impose a tax, it would be so little, but maybe insignificant, that you can just, it's like mathematics, you just ignore that term.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that third world countries may end up earning a lot of money for the music companies because of their share volume in terms of people.
They're doing in different ways, like not in music, they're doing mainly in movies. And there, because the movie you like to see in a cinema hall, you can watch here, but it's not interesting. More in cinema hall, you take Dolby Digital sound systems, and you feel good too. So that's why they're earning some money when you're going to cinema hall. So movies have been some businesses, but music actually no. Music are like only artists are earning when they're going to. The music companies are very less, and they're making CD of 2,000 songs. So that way they're going.
But I mean, the movie suggested that okay. The CDs could then be free. Or the
almost
thing you pay for is the live
free.
Events.
Yes, it's
yeah.
Almost free.
Yeah.
The CD is almost free. So 50 cents you get original
yeah.
movie CD.
So anyone that wanted to copy CDs and sell them could do that for the nominal fee of the CD, basically, and some work. And what the artist would end up making money on was the live performance, like the movie show. Because with a revenue percent of 10%, how much money do you really make on selling CDs? It's not all that much. At least in a country like Norway, nobody gets rich selling CDs here. So I mean, that's why the bands are.
I think it's not fair to sing once, record, and get paid all the life.
Okay.
Why not?
Because. Not everybody can say that. And when I'm doing art, so the art should reach everybody. And if there is someone who can't pay, the one who can pay the share. If you can pay,
yeah.
You pay. I can't pay.
That's the licensing or the tax we're talking about. It's so that everyone pays what they can. Very small fee, and they have access to everything.
$100 is nothing.
Yes, that's right for Norway.
But in some other countries, $1.
And what laws are
worldwide?
What taxes are worldwide? None of them. So the things we're proposing here, we're discussing, is on Norwegian, American, call it Western countries' basis. You also specified that in the beginning of the discussion, and nobody said that it has to be $50 for every single country in the world, but it has to be a tax that's the same, and it has to be a world tax. That wouldn't be right.
Again, when it's $1 in a country like China, or any other country, maybe with less population, so it's not a big deal for those big companies to get $1 million from a country like Jordan, for example.
But it would decriminalize so many people that it's worth it. What you save, what the society saves, what those states save on legal fees and everything like that, I really don't see the problem. It's so worth it to have a simple system to decriminalize.
I think it's better to talk about adding 20 to 50% on top of your connection fee today instead of talking about dollars.
Yeah.
Because it makes more sense. I don't know in third world countries what an internet connection costs, but add to that price 20% and send that money off to an organization that can actually distribute that money. And it's then relevant to any sort of price in any market, really. And I wouldn't think that it would break any wallet to sort of increase the internet connection. I mean, the fee that we pay today in Norway is fairly low, and I expect most countries has it like that today. I think I paid 250 kroner per month to have a fast internet connection. And obviously adding 20% on top of that, or 50%, isn't all it's not very much money. And in any way, I think that system is better than the system we have today. It has a lot of problems, yes.
But it's how to distribute this money.
I know. Obviously, there will be a lot of money changing hands, and there will be a lot of possibility for criminals.
Of course, but the users won't be the criminals anymore.
No. The
but
criminals will
be
the
transparent
criminals.
For the users. Today, we don't know what we can use. How?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to know for a normal person what they are allowed to do, what makes them a criminal, what doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's just when everything is so complex that you don't even know what rules that govern you. That's not a good thing.
And I'm thinking that it should include perhaps all content. Because when you start to say that, okay, you can download every piece of music you can. You can use it freely. Doesn't it sort of imply that I can do the same with newspapers or books? Isn't the model relevant to those kinds of documents or expressions of art?
I would say so.
So I would gladly pay an additional fee to sort of get all printed material included in this deal as well.
I will ask another question about the content of the internet. Like, if you download a video in some websites, you pay another fee to the website as well. But if you do not go to that website, go to an illegal website, you don't pay. So how do you do with that?
Well, obviously there are different fees. That's a hosting fee. And somebody needs to pay for the servers that actually hosts content. And if someone could end up with a business model that hosts a huge amount of contents for free, that's a benefit. But I doubt that anyone could devise such a mechanism. Perhaps driven by commercial interests and advertisement. But I think that you would end up also paying for the storage and search facilities.
People host contents as it is now, so I don't think that would be a problem.
Absolutely.
You can get everything for free. So,
and Google has obviously found a way of monetizing
ads. They're an ad business. That's their only business.
Okay, on to Creative Commons a little more specifically, which lives sort of in the gray area between all rights reserved and no rights reserved. Because earlier, when we published something on the internet, I think a lot of people wanted to claim all the rights to their work. But now we see a situation where more and more people want to share and want to get back the benefit from other people building on what they have built. So if I have built a piece of code and I share it on the internet and 10 other people get to use my piece of code to build their software, I get these 10 pieces of code back as sort of a bonus for sharing my code initially. So more and more people are trying to, or have wanted a system that sort of regulates that space between where I have no rights reserved. I publish, and you can do whatever you want with it. And in the other corner, I have all the rights. You cannot do anything with it. You cannot read it. You cannot write to this. You cannot add to it. You cannot resell it. You cannot do anything. And what Lawrence Lessig said is that we need something in between to sort of govern the material that doesn't really fall into either of these categories. So I may want to share a photo I've taken or a piece of code, but I may want to say that you're free to use this under certain conditions. And the system that describes those conditions is Creative Commons. Is the system that is created by or around Lawrence Lessig. So I think he states that in his book that his system was really created as an aftermath of the frustration of he trying to launch a case into the court system in the United States about material being too protected, but the creative rights being too strictly enforced. So today there are sort of six main licenses connected to Creative Commons, and as you see, they all include attribution, which is connected to the things we mentioned in the first or the beginning of today, is that when you republish something that someone else has made, you need to mention that person's name. Or if more than one person created that piece of work, you need to mention all their names. So all the CC licenses respect that ideal right, that when an image of mine or a piece of music that I made is republished or reused, my name should be mentioned. And obviously there are different methods in addition to attribution. I could choose a share alike license that basically says that you're free to use this as long as the new work you're making is shared under the same condition. And there are obviously a combination of licenses, as you see at the end there. And it gives us a sort of a language to, as I mentioned in the quote last year, communicate specifically what rights I want to give people when they use my material. And implicitly, what rights I give away to other people when I publish something. So I've seen people just copy those letters out and paste them under their images. And more and more people are now starting to understand what these random letters actually mean. Obviously, CC means Creative Commons, and BY means attribution, which means that this piece of work should... You should mention the person that created this piece of work when it's published. So in terms of in terms of space saving on, let's say, a web page, these shortened letters are often used to signify what license or what conditions the work are published under. Has anyone published anything under a CC license on the web?
Not CC.
Too big. Any experiences, bad or good? So what, did you publish music or?
No, images.
On Flickr or?
No, it's a web page called Divine Dart. You can post your art and
yep.
you can choose different licenses
yep.
if you want to.
Yep. Because on Flickr, you can actually choose specific licenses like this in the pull-down menu. And you're asked when you upload or organize images, and specifically about CC licensing. Or you could do the extreme, say that people have the rights to watch this image, but they have no other rights. I want the complete copyright of this image. I made some links for you to read. I also included a link to a page where you can see how Exif2 can be used to ingest CC licenses into images. So obviously there is a license text and there is a URL involved. And if you go to the Creative Commons website, this is sort of what you get out in terms of code when you state a license and get an XML file. Not very readable, but at least the core of it can be ingested fairly elegant using Exif2 into images. And it's all stated here. So it's a sort of an extension of the practical work we've been doing in terms of adding metadata to images. This is how you add Creative Commons metadata or description of how you do it into images and other files that Exif2 can have. For next week, we have only one mandatory exercise. And we need you to fill out an evaluation form saying something about how this course has been in terms of both the content and the form. It is available through a PDF form. And what we have done earlier is to print out that form for you. Sadly, I wasn't able to do that today because my machine doesn't talk to the printers currently at the college. So I'm hoping that at least some of you have a connection to a printer, working printer here at the college, and can either print out empty forms to distribute to, throughout the class, or that you can go to the site and copy out the text and fill it out in your own form. It doesn't need to be that specific form, but I need specific information from you. And preferably, I'd like also to know what class you're in. I'd like to know if you're an MMT student or a CIMIC student, because that has relevance for you, because your background is sort of different. So I'd like to know how you see the use of Fronted. Have you access our mobile site using mobile device? What is your opinion of the literature and of the lectures, of course? How much time have you been spending on the course? Do we need to add more work for you? Is the work, in terms of amount, is it enough or is it too little? obviously to enable us to improve the course next year for the next group of students. So you will see similar forms in all the other courses as well. I think we even have a common template for how the course form should look, even if I have made this one myself. So what I would like to do is ask you to download and print it out and fill it out and hand it to your student representatives so that they can hand it over to me in a single batch. Preferably this week. So as we have no lab session today, really, I'm hoping that you can spend some of that time filling out the form and delivering it to Gregor Holm.
Wouldn't it be possible to make a text document that we could just write on and turn in on front to or something?
I'm struggling with the fact that it wouldn't be confidential.
Okay. That's true.
And we really wanted to have a way of handling confidentiality. Obviously, you can say what you want in this forum, but I would like the feedback to be constructive. I already know that from feedback that I've gotten that some of you dislike some of the literature. But I'd like for you to be more constructive than that. Perhaps stating what it is about the literature that you don't like and suggestions to other pieces of literature. So, lines like "this suck, you suck, this course suck, may you all burn in hell" doesn't really help us all that much. So I need sort of productive feedback, constructive feedback. And by all means, if you have other choices of books or anything that you feel appropriate filling out, please do so. So if you wanted to copy this and insert URLs using a text editor and printing it, by all means do that. This form isn't really the important thing. The important thing is the feedback itself. So how you provide that feedback is all up to you. But I would very much like it to be within this week, because then we can get started on it right away. Because some of it may reflect on the next course in applied, the next applied course that we start in 3 weeks. Questions? So I'll be publishing this, as we have no lab sessions, I'll be going to my office and publishing the videos and the sound and this PDF as soon as possible, before lunch. So you should be able to download it immediately. Okay? Best luck on the exam. Thank you.